life-changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to a life-changing experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life-Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Open your word. We're going to ask if Elder Harrison would come and read this scripture, amen, with us. Hallelujah.
St. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Number 9, and he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.
Thank you, Elder, for the reading of God's word. Father, I bless you now. I thank you for this word. I thank you for what you're doing already in this place. Now bless the word. Let the people hear it. Let it fall on good ground. I thank you and I praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Amen. One of the things I want to say to you is the most important function of a born-again Christian is growth. When you become a born-again Christian, when you receive salvation, the most important thing is growth in your life. Amen? Amen. If you don't grow, it's just like that baby back there. If I see that baby next year and that baby is the same size, we're going to say that there is a stunted growth. And so the most important part of anything new is growth. So from the inception of a seed deposited in the uterus of a female and is fertilized, growth begins. And as the seed becomes an embryo and grows, all the other phases of child development starts to occur. And as the child grows in the mother's womb, sometimes tragedy occurs. And when the umbilical cord, that's the cord that attaches the mother to the child, and it is where the food and the bloodstream and everything works, comes through this cord, And it becomes displaced sometimes, and it chokes the child. And if it is not detected soon enough, death can occur. And we must have some spiritual food in order to grow up to be strong. Just like that child has to have the food coming from the parent, from the mother, we got to have spiritual food coming from somewhere in order for us to grow. Tell somebody, I want to be a healthy Christian. I don't want to be a Christian that somebody told me something and a Christian where I'm watching everybody else. I want to grow up on what's the food that the Lord has given me to grow up on. Amen. The spiritual food comes from the Word of God, and it produces the fruit of the Spirit. Am I right about that? That you cannot produce fruit if you do not have healthy spiritual food. That's why some kids, they don't grow up well because they're eating junk food. You can't have McDonald's every night. At some point, the child needs a healthy meal. Am I right about it? So Christians on the verge of bearing fruit is sometimes choked by thorns of life. And so therefore, my message for today is living life among the thorns. Lord, help me live with this thorn. My that's my subtitle. Lord, help me live among this thorn. Because it's inevitable that you're going to have one. Everybody got one. Tell somebody everybody got one. Don't be acting all deep but like you ain't got nothing going on in your life, because everybody got a thorn. There's something somebody can't seem to get rid of in your life. I want to get rid of this thing. If I could just get rid of it, I'd be all right. Everybody got a thorn. Everybody. So Christians on the verge of bearing fruit is sometimes choked by thorns of life, and it can cause premature birth or death. Thorns, we're going to talk about them right now. Thorns are present when the seed is present and waiting to devour it. When the word of God is going in you, there is a thorn waiting to eat it up so that you can't grow. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. Sometimes these thorns are called briars in the briar patch. Y'all remember the briar patch. Sometimes they're called thistles. Thorns feast on some food that is produced in healthy soil. They want to go somewhere where it's healthy, somewhere where it's nicely moistured and fertilized, these thorns. Thorns have green, prickly, pointed edges that are sharp. That means when you got it, it's going to stick every once in a while to let you know it's still there. Just when you thought you'd arrived, here comes your thorn and prick you. Just when you thought you was over them cigarettes, here it come. Every once in a while, just when you thought I'd never smoke pot again in my life, here comes somebody around you with a bag. Tell somebody that's a thorn. Thorns. They're not always visible. They hide between healthy, beautiful, growing plants. Thorns don't want to hang out with just any old thing. A thorn wants to hang around something that's growing and producing and thriving. Thorns. They are trapped in the thickets. The rose, I just gave one to the family here. is one plant that would represent the statement quite well. Because as soon as you reach in to admire this gorgeous creation, wow, you are attacked by an unseen enemy. Tell somebody the thorn. Just when you're getting ready to say how beautiful it is, it sticks you in your hand. The thorn. Thorns infect. They are powerful. They are painful. And pulling a thorn out can be bloody. I don't know if anybody ever pulled the thorn out of your hand, but it bleeds a lot when you put your finger with it. It's a bloody process, pulling a thorn out. That's why when you start trying to pull it out, you don't feel so good about getting rid of it. I've had this thorn all my life. I like what I feel with this thorn. I like the sin that I've been doing. I love it. So when you're trying to pull this thorn out and get rid of it, it becomes bloody. Ah, glory. I felt that. I felt that myself. Woo, glory. It becomes bloody. And after your encounter with a thorn, you're going to know it. Because it stays sore for a long time. Your finger stays sore. Wherever you step on it, it stays sore for a very long time. So when you become saved and you receive salvation, you think everything's going to end right there. Well, that's when you get sore. Because now you want to put back in your life the things that you took out. And so that's a sore spot. When I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, I didn't stop thinking about my Heineken. As soon as I got out of church, my thorn would come up sometimes. And I'd go by the delicatessen in New York and over in the corner in the icebox would be a nice cold Heineken sticking his ugly face up at me and my nice pack of Salem cigarettes that I thought I had to have. Tell somebody that was a thorn. It was a thorn telling me that I had to have it. But thanks be to God. You want to know if you're a real woman or a real man is when you can look something in the face that's out to destroy you and walk away from it. That's a real woman. That's a real man. When you know that it's going to destroy you. Some stuff, you just look at it. You say, if I touch it, it's going to mess me up. If I go back and play around with it, it's going to kill me. So I'm going to have to walk away from this. I know it might make me feel good. And it might look good on me. But I got to give it up. Tell somebody thorns. He's an unseen enemy that you don't see coming. Thorns, I told you, they're infectious. Thorns are not removed easily. Yeah. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care. I'm so sick of hearing preachers stand up and say, all you got to do is, it goes deeper than that. Uh-huh. Yeah. They don't get removed easily. But like I said yesterday, some things you just have to wail and start whining about it and start wailing to God to remove that thing from me. We see in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, with Paul who declares he has a thorn in his side. And he begged repeatedly for the Lord to take it out. He even says with his own lips, he said, I beg you 3 times, Lord, to get rid of this thorn. I don't like this thorn in me. And so this thorn that Paul had was a hindrance at time for Paul's ministry. But the Lord refused to pull it out. Some things you just going to have to work it. Some things God's just not going to remove. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it yourself. He says to the Lord, I've asked you, because this thing that I got, this thorn in my side, it could be detrimental to my ministry, Lord. But the Lord knew that if he had pulled it out, Paul may have bled to death. Because thorns are bloody when you pull them out. After all, thorns hurt when you pull them out. And even though Paul is saying, take it out, the Lord could see beyond that. Because Paul was pretty smart guy. Paul was an educated man. He was no slouch by no means. And so if the thorn had come out, Paul would have felt that he was exalted above everything. Why? Because Paul was making some progress, even with the thorn. And so after the thorn was still there, the Lord said to him, Paul, I'm not being mean to you, but my grace is sufficient. You can walk around with it and live. You can walk around with it and produce. But if I pull the thorn out, you might get too high-minded. You might think you're better than anybody else. Therefore, I'm going to leave that thorn in you. Every time you think you're better than me, better than everybody else, I'm going to let it stick you. He said, my grace. Look at the word my. That was letting Paul know. You can't do nothing without me. Because my grace. Somebody should holler right there, grace. Because without grace, you in trouble. Man, if it wasn't for grace, I would be in a world of trouble. God, I thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. He goes on to tell Paul, he says that my strength, not yours, Paul, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. Some of us would never get anywhere if we didn't get weak sometimes. Do you not know that when you're weak, God shows up and makes you stronger? Do you not know when you're worried about a situation? That's when God shows up. When the doctor says that you got a tumor and it's incurable, the only person that you're going to call on is Jesus. Jesus. Can't no money heal that tumor. Can't no money do a whole lot of stuff. But when you're lonely, depressed, can't nobody help you but Jesus. Whatever this thorn was that Paul had, it was certain that he needed some grace. Whatever it was. And I thank God today for grace. Because my thorn acts up sometimes. It is this grace that pulls us through every day. Paul's thorn in the flesh. The Bible says it was in his flesh. But don't you know there are thorns other places? His just happened to be in his flesh. And it was designated as a messenger by Satan. Every thorn that you have is designated by Satan. Can the Lord remove it? Yes. If he chooses to. Some thorns he do remove. But there are others that he keep, that you keep, to keep you humble. Sometimes we do things so well that we think we all had a bag of chips. We got a Mountain Dew on the side, bag of Doritos, because you just got it going on like that. But after a while, by and by, something gonna let you know that you ain't all that. You really are not all that. Tell somebody the thorn. But Paul recognized that this thing could destroy his ministry. That is why he calls on the Lord. Now, we've got to be able to recognize that we have a thorn. Let me rephrase that. We have to be able to admit that we have a thorn. Because you know you got it. But you got to admit that you got it. How can the Lord save us and help us if we don't tell him we got it? Well, first of all, you ain't got to tell him. He just wants you to acknowledge it. And so I need to move. Because the Lord just didn't want Paul to become exalted above measure. Some of us think that we think more of ourselves than we really are. And some point in your life, you're going to have to come down and realize who you are. That you ain't no better than me. No, we all the same. Somebody said it yesterday that God is a creator. And when he created you just like me. He may have given you a different gift, but you're the same as I am. I am no better than you. And the Lord gives me insight on my life so that I understand that I'm not going to get too exalted. That's what I told them the other day. I said, preachers put themselves too much on a pedestal. That's why ain't no room to go nowhere. That's why when you fall, everybody don't put you up there. You ain't got no room to fall. Baby, don't put me on no pedestal, because I'm going to fall sometime. And you got to be able to accept my falling. Why? Because I'm human. And so, tell somebody, and so, Paul lives with this thorn and survives. And he becomes quite successful in his endeavors through Christ. And he realized that he came this way because it was through Christ that strengthened him. And so, here we go here. That three of the four evangelists of the Gospels talked about thorns. In Matthew, he talks about, Matthew the 27th chapter, the 29th verse, he talks about a crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head. Jesus wore it in pain, but little did they know, they didn't know, elder, that when they put that crown of thorns on his head and he was bleeding profusely, they didn't understand that they were setting him up for his golden crown. They were just giving him a fit so that when they put the golden crown on, the one that God was going to put on his head, they were just setting him up. And Mark, the 15th chapter and the 17th verse, and John 19:2, they talked about thorns again. And these mean and rude soldiers, they planted thorns together. Put them together to make sure that Jesus was hurting. To make sure that Jesus was going to have a hard time. But go ahead. Jesus said, do whatever you want to do to me. I'm going to rise again anyway. And so you may be wearing a burden down crown right now. But a songwriter wrote, no cross, no crown. So therefore, you're going to have to go through some stuff. There are many types of thorns. There are thorns that have names. And as I was preparing this sermon, the Lord began to move. He told me that there are names of thorns. He said, they're not just prickly little things, but they all have a name. One name is the thorn of comparison. It never allows you to be you. You always gonna compare yourself to somebody else. I don't care how good you look, how nice your clothes look on you, how well you speak. You're gonna compare yourself to somebody else. It's called the thorn of comparison. And it will mess you up. Everybody ain't gonna be skinny. Everybody ain't gonna be a size 8. But if you're a size 16, like me, I feel good when I put on my clothes. I ain't comparing myself to nobody. When I look in the mirror, I say, girl, you look good. Yeah, you work in that outfit. I ain't gonna let the devil mess up my head trying to make me look like somebody else. No, this is me. This is Dottie. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Don't you know the skinny person is standing in the mirror saying, if I had a few more pounds on. The devil don't never want you to be satisfied.
Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, Senior Pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Are you ready to renew your mind?